things to your wife. That's enough. You say that, it's over. Allah ta'ala says that she didn't even mention what the crime was, the crime of fornication was. She said, out of respect for her husband, she did this. And Ayatollah Makarim Shirazi, may Allah protect him, says something else about this statement. He says, normally, if a woman was trying to have an affair with someone, and then he tried to leave, and she chased after that person, and she tried to physically restrain that person, and then they get caught at the door with her husband in that state, normally she'd be panicking, she'd be worried, she'd be nervous, but Zulaikha is cool, calm, and collected. Zulaikha is not a normal woman. Immediately she figures out how to handle the situation, right? So she's a worthy opponent, Zulaikha. So that's a little bit about the verse itself. Now let's see what inspiration we can get practically from this verse. One of the things that, inshallah, I can get from this verse, inshallah, you can also get from this verse, is the idea that Yusuf alayhi salam didn't consider himself powerless when it came to developing and improving his spirituality. We talked last time about what the situation was like. We said that this situation was so difficult, if a mountain was in this situation, it would have crumbled. A young man, young woman, alone, pressure, if you don't obey Zulaikha, heavy punishment, if you do, the whole dunya is there for you. We said that, we talked about this before, that if it wasn't for God, most people would have failed in this test. Yusuf stood up in this test. He did the right thing in this test. And the point being that for those who want to become soldiers of the Mahdi, those who want to lead a clean lifestyle, those who want to even go above and beyond that, want to excel spiritually, one of the first steps is something that we see here from Surah Yusuf. I don't see myself as being powerless. That's the mentality of a victim. I can't do anything about this. I can't better myself. I can't change. This is what people would expect from me. There's another time, no. I see no reason why I can't excel spiritually. None of the things which I'm facing in my life are things which would, on the day of judgment, be a legitimate excuse to tell God why I wasn't an excellent soldier of the Imam. And that's the way God looks at us. He sees our situation. There's others in much worse situations. And they're able to do much more than we have. And we also, when we're looking for to be satisfied with the material world that we have hadith about this. We look at those who have less. But when it comes to spiritual perfection, obviously the answer would be to look at those who have more. So I look at myself, because I want to achieve and I want to do something with myself spiritually. I look at those who achieve much more than myself spiritually, and also are in even worse situations than myself, like Yusuf alayhi salam. So for myself, I want to do that. If we have this kind of mentality, as opposed to the mentality of a victim, we can achieve great things. That divine help can come. Allah provides assistance. Let me read you a verse of the Holy Quran. This is about Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam. So it's Surah 21 and it's verse number 87. فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. That Yunus alayhi salam, in the darkness, Yunus alayhi salam had made a mistake. We don't believe prophets are not infallible, right? But a mistake at his own level, had made a mistake, had slipped. And now, in the well, in the darkness of the ocean, having made that mistake, in this darkness, he calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I am the oppressor. He recognizes his own fault, then he tries to move forward. And Allah provides assistance for him. He took accountability for himself. He accepted that what the mistake I made was my fault. I can change this. I do believe Allah will assist me. He made effort and Allah responded to him. And the next verse, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِ. So we answered his prayer and we delivered him from the sadness. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And this also applies to the believers. We'll save the believers. If believers feel that they're surrounded by darkness, that they've made mistakes, that they have slipped, but now we're approaching the month of Ramadan. This is the time I want to turn back to God. I want to improve my situation, improve my spirituality. I recognize that I am one of the zalimeen. I make those steps, Allah provides that help. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This way we save the believers. So, in our own story, Yusuf alayhi salam didn't have the mentality of a victim. Rather, he took a practical step. فَاسْتَقْبَلَ الْبَابِ. Started running towards the door. They were racing one another. He didn't just say ma'ad Allah. He made a practical step to get out of it. And making dua alone is not the solution for us. If we want to become exceptional for the believer, exceptional believers and exceptional soldiers of the Imam, or even escape a life of sin, just making dua is not enough. Dua is very important, but that's not all we have to do. That's not all that God expects from us. We have to do much more than that. We have to take practical steps, the same way that Yusuf alayhi salam did. So, in order for me to get closer to God, I'm going to do introspection now, because I'm coming up to the month of Ramadan. This month is about to begin, and then the spiritual blessings will start to be rained down upon us up until we come to the night of Qadr, and Allah will decide what's going to happen to us for the next year. So how do I take advantage of this? Practical steps now. Practical steps. One of them is making sure, Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. If I want spiritual success, I have to take practical steps, the same way as Yusuf did. فَاسْتَقْبَلَ الْبَابِ. They race towards the door. So if I'm working in a haram profession, for instance, then I have to make sure, as a believer, that I change that. I want to get close to God. I want to be a soldier of the Mahdi. I can't be taking in haram money. I can't justify what I'm doing. And as a believer, it's easy for me to do this because we do know and we do believe that our provision is actually in God's hands. For someone else who believes that it's in the hands of the people, that the profession I've chosen, that's the only way of me getting the amount of money that I need to provide for myself and my family, for them will be more difficult. But for the believers, no. Because the believer believes that it's all in God's hands. And we have that beautiful story from the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam that illustrates this point. They say that the Imam came to a masjid. And when he came to the masjid, there was a man standing outside. The Imam had a mule. He said, "Here, hold my mule for me. I've got some work to do." He left the mule with the guy and he went inside the masjid to do his work. The guy saw that Amir al-Mu'mineen wasn't there, not looking. He said, "I'm going to make a little extra cash." Extra cash. How will I make extra cash? I'll take the mule's bridle. Right? Sometimes I'm taking a profession which is not lawful for the sake of money. And he went and he ran. And he went to the bazaar. Walaykum as-salam to Allah. Amir al-Mu'mineen came out of the masjid. Work was finished. Now he has 2 dirhams that he wants to give the young man. "You're taking care of my mule? Here, 2 dirhams for you." He comes back, the bridle is not there, the mule's still standing there. He sends one of the people who's working with him, he says, "Go into the bazaar." He goes. He sees there's a man standing, selling a bridle. "How much do you sell this for?" 2 dirhams? "Oh, okay, Bismillah, here." They bring it back to Amir al-Mu'mineen. He looks at the bridle. It's the same bridle. And he makes a statement. He says, "Inna al-abd," surely the servant, "la yahrim nafsahu rizq al-halal." Sometimes the servant denies himself rizq al-halal. He could have had halal rizq at the hands of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, "Bitark al-sabr," by abandoning patience. We don't really believe, even all of us, no matter what I'm doing, I don't believe that I can outwit God. That I could possibly have a job, and if, oh God, I know God, my risk is already determined, right? No matter how much I jump up and down, go here and there, I can't get more risk than Allah has written for me. I know this. So if I know that, Why choose a profession which is unlawful? Because I'm going to get the same risk anyway. Of course, God, sometimes Allah's not a monster. Allah's not a monster. He has ways though. Like sometimes what will happen, if God is not happy with me, He might let me get risk from a haram may. But because my risk is determined how much risk I'm going to have, how much provision I'm going to have, He'll take it back. He's got ways of doing that too. So God forbid, if I have risk and it's supposed to come in halal fashion, but I was only supposed to have a certain amount of money, and I got it in a haram fashion, God can make my child become sick, for instance. Make me default on my loan. There's many ways that God has to do it. But no one can get more risk than Allah has determined for them. So the easy way is to submit to God. Do it the way He wants to do it. But a practical step now. Now I'm practically, how do I get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sometimes in order to become a true mu'min, I have to change the friends I'm with. Sometimes the reason that I slip and the reason that I don't do as well as I should is because of the company that I keep, the people that I hang around. And sometimes I have to make a change in this regard in order to become one of those special soldiers of the Imam. Zulaykha was actually very kind to Yusuf for years, looking out for him, if he needed anything, any request, anything, looking out for him. But then she wanted to misuse that position, and Yusuf had to tell her, no, you have to change that situation. Sometimes we have to change that. We have to change our situation so that we're not with those who bring us away from God, or make us become ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to explain one of the spiritual instructions of the Ahlul Bayt. It's a little bit difficult, not necessarily politically correct, but it's one of the instructions that we have from the Urafa, based on the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt. There's a very beautiful hadith, and it's a conversation between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet. He's talking to him, Ya Ahmad, speaking to him. So the ideal setting between the teacher and the student, the slave and the master, giving spiritual instructions for the Prophet. Of course, we can benefit by these spiritual instructions. What are the instructions? One of them, in this hadith Qudsi, Allah says, Wadum ala dhikri. Always be constant in remembrance of me. Always remember me at all times. Dum ala dhikri. So the Prophet said, how is this? How can I remain on your remembrance, constantly remembering you? فَقَالَ يَا رَبْ وَكَيْفَ أَدُومُ عَلَى ذِكْرِكَ. He said, O Lord, how can I stay on your remembrance, always remembering you? Allah gave him instructions. He said, فَقَالْ بِالْخَلْوَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. He said, by staying away from the people. By staying away from the people, that's how I can constantly remain in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what does this mean? And the good thing about the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt and being a follower of the Ahlul Bayt is I don't just take one hadith and I act on that. Rather, I look at all of the teachings of Islam on a certain subject and I act on that. And that's how I'm going to get closer to God. So staying away from the people, I don't just, oh, that's a wonderful hadith. I'll live in a hilltop or a mountain. Right? There's other instructions of Ahlul Bayt also at the same time. Some of my instructions are actually social instructions. If I want to get close to God, I have to interact with the people. I have to work, I have to have a job, I get married, right? All of those things. So we're not talking about this instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not, doesn't conflict with that. Amr bil ma'ruf nahi nal munkar. I'm supposed to do that. We have hadith that say where the Prophet said that Allah hates the weak mu'min. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, who's the weak mu'min? He said, the weak mu'min is the person who doesn't do nahi anil munkar. I'm a practicing person. I obey. I stay away from haram myself. I avoid haram. I try and do what's wajib. But if I see somebody else doing haram, I don't stop them. Surely Allah hates the weak mu'min. Being a believer means I have to interact with others. I don't have a choice about it. I have to stop them if the conditions for amar ma'ruf and nahy an munkar are there from doing haram. I can't just save myself. I have to save everyone else to the extent that I have ability. So Islamically, I have to do that. So it doesn't conflict with that. So what then is this teaching of the Ahlul Bayt? Because the hadith said what? To stay away from the people. Bil khalwa anin nas. Away from the people, staying away. But at the same time, you've told me that there's other instructions we have to actually interact with the people. What does this mean? One of the spiritual instructions. Those asrar from the ulama, from the urafa. They say that what happens is we're not supposed to, law now, rule, spiritual rule. I'm not supposed to interact with those who are not getting us closer to Allah more than what's necessary. I'm not supposed to interact and spend time and socialize and hang out with those who are getting me further from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than the extent that's necessary. Very important spiritual instruction. What does that mean? Sometimes I have a responsibility to interact with those who are either not mu'mineen, so sometimes Shia of Amirul Mu'mineen, but not really practicing, not doing the right things, maybe inviting me to haram. But I have a responsibility to stop these people, to do Amr Ma'ruf, Nahy an Munkar. But more than that's necessary, to choose these individuals as my hangout crew. So sometimes Shia, sometimes brothers and sisters of the Ahlul Sunnah, right? Again, they don't, some of them, they don't have our understanding, they wouldn't be Ahlul Sunnah if they had our understanding of Ahlul Bayt, of Quran, of Sunnah. They don't have that. Or non-Muslim friends. They may even be good people, like our Sunni brothers and sisters, like even maybe some of our Shia friends who are not doing the right thing, our Sunni brothers and sisters, who are not bringing me closer to God because they have the incorrect understanding or incorrect actions which are bringing me away from God. So it doesn't mean not interacting with society, not talking to them, not dealing with them, not being friendly, but above and beyond what's necessary, the people I choose to hang out with are very important actually. We have hadith that tell us, a man is on the religion of his friends. We'd be surprised at how much we're affected by those who we hang around. And I have to choose my friends and associates carefully. On the day of judgment, this is sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fast forwards in the Holy Quran. He takes us to the day of judgment and he explains what some people did in this world and their regrets as a lesson to us so that we better ourselves. Surah 25, verse number 28. Somebody on the Day of Judgment explaining something that they did, a terrible mistake related to our topic. Ya waylata, this person is saying, woe to me, laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. I wish I hadn't had such and such as a friend. If only I had not chosen this person as a friend. I wasn't close, I wasn't a buddy. We didn't hang out together. My life would be different. So choosing our friends, sometimes for those who want to be soldiers of the Imam, changing my situation so that I'm around those who remind me of God is actually an important spiritual step. It doesn't mean though that I cut off ties with other people. There was a question they asked from the office of the leader. It's a real question. They said that I have a brother, and my brother is fasid. They gave details of his life. He's like this and not careful with his money and not like this. And what he watches on TV is not right. And should I cut ties with him? Altogether, just cut him out of the picture. And the office said, and you can look it up on the website. They said, cutting ties is haram. Cutting ties is haram. But they say keeping, doing silatul rahim, doesn't mean you have to see the person. You can do that with the phone, with the email, with the letter, right? So I'm cutting down my interaction with those who take me away from God to the extent that's necessary, although I'm carrying out all of my wajib duties. But at the same time, above and beyond that, the people who I choose to be with, very important for me spiritually, to surround myself with people who will help me and assist me. One more thing that we get about this, or lesson that we get from this first part. فَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابِ Yusuf alayhi salam racing, trying to outrun Zulaykha and get to that door. Another lesson that we get from this, this is for bad situations or sometimes improving our spiritual state. Sometimes not the situation that I'm committing a lot of ma'asi and sins, but I want to be the best that I can be. For me, what should I do? Sometimes it's not running away from sin, changing the people. That was the first part of the thing, was the idea of Yusuf. He ran away from that bad situation. I change my friends so that I'm around good people. I'm away from those people. I changed my hangout routine. The other one is when I'm running towards good people. The opposite now. Sometimes in order for me to improve my spiritual situation, I have to surround myself with good people. The first time I was running away from a situation like Yusuf, this time the opposite. If I'm with mu'mineen, that'll save me. That'll make me better. That'll remind me of God. So now this is another thing that I want to keep in mind. They say with deep sea divers, they have the buddy system. They're going to dive into the ocean. They're going to have somebody to dive into the ocean with them. God forbid, if there is, for instance, they run out of air or their tank is not working and they get a cramp, or a buddy to help them out of that situation. Spiritually also, I want to surround myself with people who will bring me back to the right path. Remind me if I'm doing something that's wrong. Inspire me because they're so much better than I am. Spiritually. Right? This is also another strategy and a technique for saving ourselves spiritually. The disciples, they were talking to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and they asked him for advice in this regard. They said, Ya Ruhallah, speaking to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, they said, Ya Ruhallah, man nujalis? Who should we sit with? Who should we hang out with? Who should we spend time with? I want to now improve my spirituality, but in this way, running towards the good people. Who should we sit with? Qal, Yusuf alayhi salam, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam responded, Man yudhakkirukum Allah ru'yatuh. Hang out with those people, sit with those people who, when you sit with them, you're reminded of God. By seeing the person, I'm reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to prayer, praying on time. If I was thinking maybe, how long we can do it a little bit later, this person will say, no, I want to make prayer now. Right? Just seeing the person, because they're so firm in beliefs, and this has happened for me personally, I don't know if you've had this experience, some mu'mineen, they're so strong in their faith, you get encouraged. One of the brothers was saying when he hears Sayyidina Nasrullah speaking, giving, talking about the enemies of Islam and what we have to do. Just hearing, I don't even understand Arabic, but he is talking and he is so brave. Seeing this person makes me brave. When I'm with the person and they're doing the right thing and they're proud of their Islamic principles and standing up for the right thing, this helps to strengthen me. وَيَزِيدُ فِي عِلْمِكُمْ مَنْتِقُوا. There's some people, when they speak, it increases your knowledge. Instead of talking about vain things or useless things. And of course, we do have time. We do believe in relaxing and hanging out. We don't have to, every conversation that we have is ayat of Quran. I quote one ayat, you quote another ayat, hadith. Sometimes we talk about other things also. But there's some people, when they speak, or even in between those things, they'll increase us in knowledge. Once, one of the Urafa said that, I was taking I had my baby boy with me. He says that I went to Ayatollah Behjat. And my little son is making noise, crying. And Ayatollah Behjat said, why? What's going on? He said that my son misses his mother. Ayatollah Behjat uses this as an opportunity to get us closer to God. He says something like this: I wish we were as attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we're away from Him, we cry just as this baby cries when it's away from his mother. Something simple like that. A child's crying. Ayatollah Behjat, may Allah have mercy on his soul, will use it as an opportunity to connect me with God. We're more dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than a child is on its mother. The child recognizes its need for God, even away, for its mother, even away a little bit of time. I'm with my dad, but still calling out. We should be even more than this. So somebody who increases me with this, وَيُرَغِبُكُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَمَلُهُ. The next thing that Hazrat Isa says is that when you see the practice of this person, the actions of this person, it makes you want to do more for the hereafter. There's some people, when you see them praying, you just, I don't use the word envy, right? But you really, without envy, right? Because ghibta is also okay. Envy, that I want to see that somebody has a good deed or a ni'mah taken away from them, that's wrong. But ghibta, that I see this person and I wish I could be like that person, that Allah would give me the same gift, that's okay. There's some people, I remember when I was really a youngster, and I say that generously because I'm a youngster even now. I'm still young, inshallah. I remember I was in the hawza. So I would wake up in my, we had these rooms, we're there with brothers and sisters, brothers from other countries. And one of the brothers, I would wake up to him making Salatul Layl, to the crying of another person in Salatul Layl. It's a different experience. That person, for me, I won't ever cry. Not Salatul Layl, if I make Salatul Layl, won't ever. But when I see this person, and they're crying in their Salatul Layl, their actions make me want God more, make me want the hereafter more. Right? So surrounding myself, now for my spiritual betterment, surrounding myself with those who in their actions, they make me want to come closer to God. When I see them, no, I could be doing this. They encourage me through their actions. So we want to definitely do that. I want to definitely do that. So Yusuf alayhi salam did that. He ran away from this terrible situation, and believers have that responsibility. Not only dua, but also dawa, a cure, to better my spiritual situation. Sometimes it's not being alone. If I'm alone, I will see things I shouldn't see. I will do things I shouldn't do. I will hang out with friends who I shouldn't hang out because of my company. So I'll change my company. Sometimes I need to make my company good people. And in that way, that'll help to save me. So I go over and I do these things. If we do these things, then that divine help is there. That divine help is there. And that assistance is there. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل.
There's some of the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt are inspirational. Okay, we as believers, we don't believe that we're our fate is doomed. For instance, use the excuse that I'm here in these countries, away from the lands of Islam, kufr all around me, disobedience of God all around me, so that's the reason why I can't succeed spiritually. Yusuf in a much worse situation, and he achieved that spiritual station. We learn from hadith now, that inspirational hadith from the Ahlul Bayt, is that God sees our situation, and He accordingly sends help. The more difficult my situation is, the more help I need. When I make effort, then that help of God is there. So if in these lands, away from Islam, away from the centers of Islam, if I make effort to get closer to God, I will receive more help spiritually than others. hadith is from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
He says, al-ma'unatu tanzilu min as-sama' ala qadr al-ma'una. Al-ma'una, that divine help and assistance, it descends from the heaven based on how difficult your situation is. If I make effort, if I put up a good fight, if I'm trying my best, if God sees how difficult my situation is, and I'm really doing that jihad, to the extent that my situation is difficult, that divine help will descend. That help and assistance will be there. One important thing for us to keep in mind, though, is the idea of believing in that divine help. Believing in that assistance. We have in the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt the concept of intidarul faraj, expecting delivery and relief. What we learn from the ulama, from the leader, from the urafa, they tell us that those ahadith which talk about intidarul faraj and expecting delivery and relief, they're not limited to the final victory of the 12th Imam. Rather, as a believer, when I've heard those hadith about the best of the actions of my ummah is to always be expecting this delivery and relief into Darul Faraj, that's in all of my affairs. In my spiritual matters, in my financial affairs, my husband and wife, my sickness, always expecting relief and delivery and assistance. So the believer always tries their best and at the same time expecting that help and assistance. Now let me mention something that's a little bit scary. Okay. It's okay, I'm here. What's scary? The scary thing is this, that if you think good of God, you have hadith, Allah acts according to your expectations. If you expect good of God, divine assistance, help, spiritually I will be able to make it, all I have to do is my responsibility, then that help is there. In khayran fa khayra. In khayran fa khayra. So if you think good of God, then... But what if I think bad of God? That God's not going to help me. God's not going to assist me. God doesn't like me. This is one of the traits of the munafiqeen. We have to make sure that we don't have this. Surah 48 and verse number 6. أَذَّانِينَ بِاللَّهِ ذَنَّ السَّوْءَ. One of the sifah, the traits, the awsaf of the munafiqeen is they think bad of God. They don't expect victory and help and assistance and all I have to do is my responsibility in tidar al-faraj and everything. In my spiritual matters, financial matters, getting my health together, saving my children. They don't see. أَذَّانِينَ بِاللَّهِ ذَنَّ السَّوْءَ. They think bad of God. And the hadith says, إِنْ شَرًّا فَشَرًّا. Sometimes the reason that we may have misery and misfortune in our life is because we think bad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as he said in the hadith, he deals with his servants based on their expectation. So the good thing is to think good of God. To expect help and relief and assistance. There's one last question that might come to mind in regards to this verse. Zulaykha now, we're going back to the verse, the words of Zulaykha. قَالَتْ مَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ أَرَادَ بِأَهْلِكَ سُوءًا إِلَّا أَنْ يُسْجَنَ أَوْ أَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Zulaykha, when she's caught at the door, when her husband is there, she sees her husband, she has the bit of the shirt in her hand, she turns on Yusuf alayhi salam like a rattlesnake. She says, what is the requital, the punishment of the person who wants to do something wicked to your wife, evil to your wife, except that he be imprisoned, or that he have a painful punishment? Question, Zulaykha was so much in love with Yusuf alayhi salam, ready to do anything, even fornicate in her own house, why would she throw Yusuf to the wolves so quickly? Why would she painful punishment. He should be in prison. You did that. You're supposed to be in love. Imam Ali teaches us a secret. Very beautiful. And it helps us to understand a lot of things about the reality of the world that we live in. Let me quote you the hadith. It's from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The secret is, and we learn this from a hadith of Ahlul Bayt, and I'm going to read you the hadith of Ahlul Bayt. Love, which is based on the dunya, doesn't last. Hadith. Wuddu abna'i dunya. So the love of the children of this world. Wuddu abna'i dunya yanqati' li'inqita'i asbabih. The love of the children of this world is cut, ends, comes to an end when the reasons for that love are over. As long as the dunya was keeping us together and that dunya is still there, my interests lie in being there with you, alhamdulillah. As soon as my interests turn and change, that love is gone. The opposite is also true. Wuddu abna al-akhirah, the love of the children of the next world, mu'mineen, mu'minat, yadum, that continues, lidawami sababi. Because the reason for your love was permanent, the love is also permanent. The reason that brought us together was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That reason is always there, so the love between the mu'mineen is always there. Because it wasn't for this temporal dunya. Let me give you an example now. Muhammad al-Mursi. Muhammad al-Mursi, it's only been a year since he took power. Democratically elected. Mubarak overthrown. Crowds in the street. What happened to Muhammad al-Mursi? What mistake did Muhammad al-Mursi make? Muhammad al-Mursi tried to play ball with the enemies of Islam. The love which is based on the here, not based on the hereafter, based on the dunya, is only there as long as our worldly interests are together. He tried to play ball with them. He honored the Camp David Accord. His slogan before was fighting Israel. But now, I want to stay in power, I'll bet on these guys. That's where the money is. The Egyptians, the Muslims, would cut the pipeline, the gas pipeline between Egypt and Israel, his government would repair it. The Muslims would occupy the Israeli embassy, he would give the Israeli embassy back and apologize. He would write letters to Perez and say, "My brother." He kept gambling. I mean, it's a gamble, right? He would support the Takfiris in Syria. Won't close the Israeli embassy. The Muslims try and close it. I keep it open. But the Syrian embassy, which is now the resistance against the global, I'll close that embassy. Spread Shia phobia, Iran phobia. Even on the domestic front, he made mistakes. Instead of having broad-based support, bringing all of the different sections and groups and political groups who were there in Egypt, giving them all a chance and a position, no, he wouldn't do that. Only my own little groups. He trusted, let's put it in one word, he trusted the promises of the leaders of Kufr. He thought that if I play ball, if I do the right thing, if I'm a good soldier, they'll honor their promises. But what does the Quran say? Surah 9, verse number 12. فَقَاتِلُوا أَئِمَّةَ الْكُفْرِ. So fight the leaders of disbelief. فَقَاتِلُوا أَئِمَّةَ الْكُفْرِ إِنَّهُمْ لَا أَيْمَانَ لَهُمْ. These people have no commitment to pledges. They don't believe in their yameen. If they give you a qasam, if they say, "We're going to help you, we're going to assist you, the U.S. is behind you." had stuck to his Islamic principles, then no, if he had even his own principles, relied on his people, gone against the global hegemony, he would have been popular, more popular maybe than General Gamal al-Nasr. But no, he did that. So we shouldn't be surprised, knowing this as followers of Ahlul Bayt, that the love which is based on the dunya, it ends as soon as the interests end. We shouldn't be surprised that Zulaykha would throw Yusuf to the wolves. It's all about number one. All about number one. But now, with Zulaykha, Allama Tabatabai gives us another reason too, though. We find this from the tafsir. He says, so even more insight. Zulaykha was so clever, because women can be dhalimeen also. Right? Men are dhalimeen sometimes. So women are also can be dhalimeen. Also, all of us have to make sure we're not doing dhulm. Zulaykha was so clever. She knew her husband very well. If she could find any, this is from Allama Tabatabai, could find any way of getting him to overlook the wrong that she had done, she could get him to overlook Yusuf. That was easy. First get him not to be angry at me, not to kill me, not to punish me. Then I'll talk to him, I'll explain to him, I'll be able to save Yusuf, and I'll continue to move. So we ask Allah, right, Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, that he accept our small offering in his way, and that he make us the soldiers of the Imam of the time. We ask that he forgive the mu'mineen and mu'minat, the believers wherever they are, assist them, the maraji, and of course the leader. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Excuse me? Oh, yeah. The brother said that we should have brief Q&A if anybody has any questions. There's no questions. Also, okay. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
What's the program now? What's the program now?
Just maybe the program?
Okay, sure.
I just add it. Who can it Spanish name? Naseta. Naseta in
Maine.
Okay.
Tack så mycket, Sheikh Osama. Thank you very much, Sheikh Osama. Tack så mycket alla för att ni kom. Vi kommer att fortsätta föreläsningsserien om Surat Yusuf imorgon fram till fredag, inshallah. Och på lördag sen där lektionen som sagt, och vi har fortfarande platser kvar för rådgivning med Sheikh Osama. Det är egentligen en timme innan programmet. Det är två pass, 18 till 18.30 eller 18.30 till 7. Då får man liksom tid personligt med Sheikhen. Det kan vara alltså personlig utveckling, alltså det spirituellt, eller alltså bara tips eller vad som helst. Om man vill ha lite mer personliga samtal. I alla fall, så är ni och tack alla för att ni kom. صلى على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Walaikum as-salam.
Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
I'm Gaza. Thanks for playing. Did you sleep well?
Yeah.
I stayed up until the end.